The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Well, good morning. I must tell you, in all transparency, this is the third time I've started this video. So hopefully third time's the charm. Let's open up the word of prayer. God, thanks. Lord, I pray that you'll quiet my heart at this point, God, that you'll give us a good time of study with you, Father. Open our hearts to hear from you. Thanks, Father. Bless us now, God. We ask it in your name. Amen. All right, let's hope. Got your Bible turned to Romans chapter 5. We're finishing up our Restoration Project series, and the title of today's message is What to Do When Your Life is a Mess. A lot there to unpack. Let's get into it, shall we? Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now, we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Now, maybe I hang out with a rough crowd. It's possible. But it seems like everybody that I, or just about everybody that I know well enough to know like their whole story or their backstory, is either dealing with a place where their time, a time when their life was a mess, and it was either in their past, or it's in their day to day, every day they're always living in a mess and they just can't seem to get out of it. I think most of us kind of fall somewhere in between. Our lives can get messy sometimes, and you know, it's not great. You know, we talk about people that have drug problems or had drug problems or they had an affair or this or that, and you think, well, you know, that's, I don't have messes like that, Jerry. I have respectable messes. My messes are you know, respectable kind. You know, I haven't done drugs or alcohol or extramarital affairs. I'm much more better than that. But you can create your life a mess in your life by all kinds of things, like treating the people that are closest to you and always having a stern disapproval of them. Or make a mess of your health by eating nothing but junk all the time. I did that for a long time. I'm trying to clean that all up. Or maybe you've made a career, maybe you've messed up your career or your financial life by making bad decisions or just not paying attention to things. There's a lot of things we can do that cause our life to be messes. They don't have to involve affairs or alcohol or drugs. And if we're really good at it, we can actually make it sound like we're the victim. Oh, poor guy. His wife left him for no reason, except for the affairs. Poor guy. He had a heart attack out of the blue. He was 47, weighed 500 pounds, had a Slurpee in one hand and five Twinkies in the other. But other than that, poor guy, the economy turned and he went bankrupt. It didn't have anything to do with the fact that he invested all of his money in a new pet rock franchise. The fact is, when life becomes messy, more often than not, it's our fault. We're a contributing factor. How's that for good news? Am I being cheerful enough for you? Look, it gets better, I promise. Okay? Here's what we need to know. We all have something in common. We're all sinners. You, me, we're all sinners. And anybody tries to tell you they're not, they're either lying or stupid or both. Romans 3:23 says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. The wages of sin is death. Sin, by its nature, messes things up. That's all sin can do. Because the wages of sin is death. Nothing good can ever come of sin because sin is incapable of producing good. It wreaks havoc. When we mess with it, it makes a mess of us. Therefore, in order for our lives to work, we need to experience God's amazing grace, which we've been talking about all these weeks. We need to become brand new people in Him. It happens in salvation. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Excuse me. Sorry about that. But this is just step one. We talk about salvation, and we act like salvation is that's the be-all and end-all. I mean, and that's good. Salvation is great. I mean, that keeps us from going to hell. But God's work of grace in our lives didn't end at salvation. It begins at salvation. We act sometimes like, you know, I went down the altar and I gave my heart to Jesus and everything's fine. I'm good from now on. No. God's grace begins when our accepting Christ. And then it continues to build on our life, It continues to transform us. God's grace transforms us and makes us into something new. When you find yourself in a mess, you need God's grace. The good news is, even if it's a mess created by your own sin, God's grace is available. Romans chapter 5, Paul says, God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were, but as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. That means that as much grace or as much help as you need to get out of the mess you've created, God's going to give you. As much mercy as you need to experience God's full and complete forgiveness, God's going to give you. As much of His power that you need to turn your life around, He's going to give you. And as much peace as you need to overcome your fears, He's going to give you. As much acceptance as you need to be free from guilt, He's going to give you. You cannot out-sin God's grace in your life. You cannot make such a mess of things that He is no longer able to help you out. That's how wonderful God's grace is. Now, every time I teach this truth, someone's going to say to me, well, are you saying then, Jerry, that I can go out and sin all I want? I can live it up and party down, have a great time, and then ask God to forgive us and He'll forgive me? Now, that question's got a serious flaw in it because it reveals that the person who asks you it doesn't have a clue about what sin really does to you or what experiencing God's grace does to you. Let me give you an example. When I was working at Rough Acres, we were loading a couple of steers into a horse trailer. Number one mistake, never use a horse trailer for cattle. They don't like it. It's closed in, freaks them out. Boss got a wild hair. We should take him to Yuma to be butchered instead of having the guy come out to the ranch that always came out to the ranch. So we had one steer loaded up. Now he's about 1,900 pounds. He's a big boy. He's sitting in the dark in the horse trailer. And I don't know if he figured out where he was going or he just didn't like being in the dark in the horse trailer. But when we opened the gate to try and get the second steer in, the first one came running at me, hit me with his head right in the middle of my chest, kicked me about 10 feet out of the trailer, landed flat on my back. Later that night, when I couldn't move my head without almost crying, I went to the emergency room. Now, despite all the moaning and whining that I did, I found out that my injury was not fatal. Hallelujah. They gave me a neck brace, which is really hard when you don't have much of a neck. I didn't know I had a neck to get hurt. Gave me a neck brace, some suit to hold my head up like this, which doesn't help. They gave me some medication. Some of it was pretty nice. And they told me in a week or two I'd be fine. And I was. So, what then is to keep me from doing that again? If the doctor could heal me and everything's going to be fine, why not go do it again? Let's put 3 or 4 steers in the trailer and see what happens. Why wouldn't I go out and do that? Because it's stupid. Because the fact that the doctor could heal my boo-boo didn't mean that boo-boo didn't hurt like a big dog for a couple of weeks. When you're stopped at a stop sign and it hurts to turn and see if a car's coming, why would you do that to yourself? I guarantee you, I would never, ever do that to myself purposely. So anybody that thinks that they can do whatever they want and then ask God's forgiveness is in for a rude awakening. Because the wages of sin is death, and it always, and I mean always, leads to misery. Anyone who's made a mess of their lives with sin already knows this. So as we look at Romans 5, I want to show you 3 things you can do to get out of the mess. 3 things you can do to get out of the mess. Number 1, accept God's grace. Forgiveness is a free gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. And God's forgiveness is total and complete. Now, your spouse may not be ready to forgive you. Maybe not your boss or your kids or your parents, your dog or your enemies. But God has forgiven you completely. Look what Paul wrote in 5:6. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Us sinners. You and me. That's our category. We're the one he died for. And then he said in 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God forgives us in spite of the fact that we don't deserve it. In fact, before we even considered asking for forgiveness, before we even felt a hint of remorse, he had already died for our sins. Look what it says in verse 1. Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Justified. It means forgiven, declared not guilty. Just as if I'd, you like that? Just as if I'd never sinned. We receive this justification through faith, through accepting it as a free gift. Ephesians 2:8-9, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. I read where a pastor said, accepting God's forgiveness and salvation was easy for me. But when I've sinned in my Christian life, accepting God's forgiveness has been more difficult because I'm constantly reminded of how little I deserve it. Man, I can relate to that. I felt that way. But when we feel this, it reveals a lack of understanding of the scope of God's forgiveness. We tend to think that God can forgive small sins, but not big ones. We can forgive our old sins, but not our new ones. But you need to understand this. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for all sins. The ugly ones, the wicked ones, the stupid ones. All sins. Big ones, the little ones, the ones that climb on rocks, tough sins, sissy kin sins. Oscar Mayer hot dog song. Sorry, I'm old. Look at what he says in verse 9. Since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. The fear of God's wrath is a thing of the past for Christians. We've been saved from it. We don't have to live in dread of what God is going to do to get even with us, because the punishment that our sins deserve was paid for by Jesus. quit thinking that God is out to get you because you've sinned. He's not. His grace covers it. The blood of Christ covers it. It's not fair. It's not fair that Jesus had to die for our sins and we get off scot-free. It's not fair at all. It's not what we deserve. But it's what we've been given. One more time. It's not fair that Jesus had to die for our sins. It's not fair that we get to escape just by God's forgiving us. It's not what we deserve, but it's what God has given us. And He gives it to us every day. Just like you accepted it on the day of salvation, accept God's forgiveness in your life. Quit letting the devil knock you around the ballpark. Accept God's forgiveness. Make the changes you need to show true repentance and then move on. Number two, celebrate God's grace. Celebrate God's grace. Come on. All right. Again, I'm old. I know these songs. Romans 5:2. Some of you are saying, if he sings one more time, I'm going to. Okay. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. I love that last part. We confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Verse 11. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Grace is a cause for rejoicing. It's a cause for celebration. Get out the Doritos and the Dr. Pepper. We got to celebrate. If you've made a mess of your life through sin, God's going to forgive you. Accept it. Celebrate it. Even before the outward circumstances of your life improve, celebrate the inward miracle of God's forgiveness. Look, just because you ruined yesterday doesn't mean that you have to have a miserable tomorrow or a miserable today. It's not that we minimize our sin or that we fail to recognize the damage it's done. It's that we see God's grace for what it is. Pardon. Absolute and complete forgiveness. If that doesn't blow your mind, it'll sprain your brain. Pardon. Celebrate God's pardon and His absolute and complete forgiveness. A psalm of celebration, David wrote in Psalm 103, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the things He does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles." When you've made your life a mess, accept God's grace, celebrate His grace, and finally, use God's grace. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, I mean use it to build your life upon it. Use it to turn your life around. Look at Romans 5:1. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." We stand by His grace. His grace is our strength for daily living. When our lives are filled with sorrow and pain, either through our own mistakes or circumstances beyond our control, God's grace has the power to see us through. God's grace has the power to use our sorrow and pain for His glory and for our good. Think about this. Look at Romans 5:3. "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation." I had a lady tell me one time, you know, it says, talking about this passage in Romans, that our hard times and our sorrows bring endurance. I got plenty of endurance. I need some peace. It feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? Now, here's what I need you to know about your problems. Your problems, whatever their cause may be, can be used to strengthen you. Right? Paul said that he gives three things. First of all, endurance teaches you I can overcome anything, even my own sinful mistakes, through the power of God's grace in my life. When we stay the course, when we keep going, we learn that we can overcome anything through God's grace. That's vital. Because a lot of people, when something goes bad, they just bail and turn the other way. If you do that, you never learn endurance. And consequently, you don't get the character and you don't get the hope. I know people that have kind of given up on the Christian walk, and they're, so now I see the things they post on social media about, oh, how bad their life is, and every day is a struggle, and oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, and they hate the world, and they're mad at, you know, the presidents and the Congress, and they're mad at, it doesn't matter who's president, they're mad at them, it doesn't matter. Oh, my life is such a horrible thing. You know what? You never learned endurance. Your faith was an inch deep and a mile wide. Get in, buckle down, and stay the course. Endure. Let God build in you day by day by day by day by day. I've told you before, when you lift weights, and you see these big buff muscle guys, you know, and they're all, they started with the same muscle pack you did. They're little tiny scrawny suckers. But they started lifting weights. And the way it works, when you lift those big weights, it literally tears the muscle fibers apart. It tears them in half. And then they heal. Then you do it again and again and again and again. And eventually you take a muscle that's this big and you make it this big because it's just been torn apart each one of those times. Here's the thing. If you give up after the first or second muscle tear, you never get to the big muscle pack. You're still a 98-pound Casper J. Milquetoast weakling.
Yes, precious.
You got to go through it. You got to endure. And when we endure, we get character. Character teaches you, through His grace, I can become the kind of person who doesn't make such foolish mistakes. They say that character is what you do when no one's watching. Through God's grace, I can become the kind of person who doesn't keep making the same stupid mistakes over and over and over. Character gives us hope. Hope teaches you, because through His grace, He's making me into a new person, He's making me like Christ. Understand, if you never endure, you never get to character. If you never get to character, you never get to hope. There's no way to hopscotch these. You can't go from endurance to hope. Doesn't work. Character's got to come in the middle of that. Use God's grace in your life. Let it be your source of strength, the foundation you stand on. Use God's grace. He can make the mistakes, He can take the mistakes you've made and turn them into something useful. I love this story. The great violinist Niccolo Paganini. And you have to say it that way. Niccolo Paganini. He's performing for a packed house one evening, surrounded by a full orchestra. As he began the final piece, one of the strings on his violin snapped. Now, Paganini was a genius. He was able to continue playing the piece on the remaining three strings. A moment later, a second string snapped. Still, Paganini continued playing the concerto on the remaining two strings, and then a third string snapped. But Paganini continued to play. He finished the piece note for note with one string on his violin. When the performance was over, the crowd rose in thunderous applause. Paganini, being the humble musician he was, raised his violin in the air and proclaimed to the audience, "Paganini and one string." He cued the conductor, the orchestra began playing, and he performed his encore note for note with one string on his violin. Great story, Jerry. What does it mean? If you've made a mess of your life, you may be tempted to say, I've lost so much. I have so little left. I've wasted everything. But the fact is that if you're down to one string, even if you're down to one string, God can still make music with your life. That's why Paul said in Romans 5:5, this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. If your life is a mess, if you're down to one string, God's grace is the answer. Accept it. Celebrate it. Use it. Build your life on God's grace, and God's grace will turn your life around. I hope you've enjoyed our lessons together. In the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be on the after 2 weeks, I'm going to be on the road 10 days straight. So we won't do a Bible study till sometime in November. But I'm looking forward to doing these again. Love you guys. Look, hang in there. Let God's grace give you strength and perseverance. Let God's grace see you through. Hopefully, after the end of these four lessons you've seen, you may be a restoration project, but you're not the broken down junk you started as. It's good. Let's pray. God, thanks. You're so good to us, God. And we love you so much. Father, I pray that you'll help us. The devil and the world are so quick to try and tear us down and tell us we're worthless. We're down to one string. But God, you can make beautiful music with that one string of our life if we'll allow you to. God, help us. Bless us now, Father. Thanks for your love. Thanks for your grace. Amen. Love you guys. Hope these have been helpful to you. And I'll see you Sunday, November 9th, in the flesh. God bless.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com.